You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
The Around the NFL podcast comes up with new bits faster than Greg can kill them.
From the Chris Wessling podcast studio, it's Around the NFL. I'm Dan Hanzus. Got some heroes here. Greg Rosenthal, Mark Sessler. Apologies, I missed Monday's show.
I haven't killed a bit in a while, by the way.
Are we allowed to say where you were?
Yeah, well, you know, I missed the show like Tom Brady. I had a personal matter, and I needed to step away in August to tend to some issues, but I'll be back, and I am back. That personal matter was taking my two children with my wife to Legoland. Two nights, 2 days. It's a lot.
It's a dense voyage. I've been there.
There's literally a song in the Lego universe called "This Song's Gonna Get Stuck Inside Your Head" that plays on loop there. It's a lot. Tuesday morning, we were at the breakfast buffet in one of the hotels on the grounds. Emily comes up to me and says, "I think there's a famous guy around the corner." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And she's like, "I thought at first he was a guy. He looks like a Southern boy. I thought maybe I went to college with him, but now I think he might be famous." And I turned the corner, and there he is. And I think this is a safe space. I don't feel like I'm blowing up his spot, because by the time people listen to this, there's no way that you could do more than 2 days in Legoland.
He's gone.
Unless you were actually trapped there. Drew Brees was there with his wife and what appeared to be his young son. And I have to say, I respected Drew Brees for being in this mess hall, chowing down on room temperature sausage and scrambled eggs that had been battered by the heat lamp over hours. Just real, like, every guy stuff. So we made awkward eye contact at one point, two NFL giants, you know, by happenstance thrown together. And it was a special moment.
I would ask, like, number one, if people were, you know, noticing him and approaching him, but were they noticing you and approaching you?
I didn't get it. There were no sightings, no spottings of ATN from ATN fans. It did get me ruminating on fame and true fame when I saw Brees, because Drew Brees is Drew Brees. And one thing that jumps out to you about Brees is he does not look like superhuman like so many pro athletes. He looks like a regular dude, but
he's
also
6 feet.
Yeah, he's also one of the most recognizable professional athletes in this country of the last 20 years.
Save to your wife, who thought it was a college boyfriend.
Yeah. Well, I don't think a boyfriend, and I wouldn't, again, like when you
talk
about my wife.
That's where I go with it, but
when you talk about my wife, you know, let's take it easy. So with the insinuations,
he immediately goes there.
I thought that was where my memory was of the comment.
Distasteful. It's distasteful. That's my wife.
A man she knew in college then.
But
that's even more vague and bizarre.
But anyway, I hope he wasn't bombarded by people looking for autographs, selfies, coming up to him constantly. But I don't know how it doesn't happen. It's crazy.
Did you make, while you were there, because you know they have the little huts where you can bring the children in for a little downtime where they can play with the Legos. Did you make anything? Did you sit down with them and make anything out of Legos yourself? And if so, what?
I never touched a Lego. No. I can't even imagine what is on those Legos. And the children were sanitizing the hands at a furious level, put it that way.
That's a logical argument to stay away.
But I'm happy to be back. And thank you to Patrick Claibon for sitting in. Today's show, we are going to – listen, it's not March Madness, Greggy. It's September Madness.
Well, it's technically August, right?
But it's going to be September Madness because we have we're going to break down all of the week one games. There's 16 of them, 16 games, 32 teams, 0 teams on bye. And we're going to do it bracket style, March Madness style, to figure out what is the best game of week one. And yes, is it probably the Thursday night opener between the Rams and Bills? I can imagine that, but our job is to not be so basic about it and really drill down onto what game is going to be. What is the game that gets you?
Well, it's
juiced?
The one we're most excited for, right?
What and gets you juiced?
It's like week one's the best week of the season to me. All the teams are as like unknown as possible. We've had this whole offseason to get ready. Now we've got about 3-4 weeks to literally get ready just for these matchups. I mean, just you putting it out there that Bills Rams, like, we got to figure out if that's not number one. I mean, I'm not going to vote for it now. I mean, I'm bringing that thing down.
Well, so the way this works, like, there could be a Cinderella that goes and meets Bills Rams.
Absolutely.
That's what I mean.
And Greg always looking to consume power, gain it.
Sure.
That's not
influence.
True.
There's three of
external
us.
Power.
So if Greg says, I want to take out the Rams and Bills out of the bracket just because I want to be different, I'm a big man. There's still two other voters here.
Absolutely.
And majority rules.
Absolutely. But you say it's going to be the game we're most excited for. And is that the best game? Is that maybe the most meaningful game?
Here's my concern.
I don't think that would be my number one game I'm most excited for. So that would be just being honest.
Well, here's my concern.
They're both good.
Yeah. Here's my concern that, and this exercise is not to tell everyone that Rams Bills is the best game. So I would love for some, you know, juice to be involved. But if it gets bounced out early, I'm concerned because Greg is already saying he wants to be an agent of chaos. And Mark and the Rams has well documented their relationship. Maybe the Rams aren't going to make it to number one. So maybe hang around and see what is the best game.
I mean, it's like the most beautiful girl in school. She doesn't need to be the prom queen. We're going to that game. That's enough. Like, the game is going to be amazing.
But I don't
maybe
think
it doesn't. They
now
don't
Greg
need
is
it.
Controlling this, the prom.
Exactly. You're filtering it through your mindset. We're trying
sure,
to be conduits to our
that's
audience. The What's the best game?
That's the idea.
Maybe
I'm annoyed with Greg.
Game. Are you? Because I am.
I'm not, because I think it sets up the segment to be spicier than just going chalk.
Spice is good. All right. Yeah, we don't want to go chalk. But before that, let's do some news.
Really accentuates the butt cheeks.
Ah, yes, Dan Talica, a.k.a. Dan Campbell, head coach of the Detroit Lions from episode 2 of Hard Knocks. And if you love Hard Knocks, or if you love this show, if you love both, you got to check out the Hard Knocks podcast with me and Colleen Wolf. Episode 2 dropped last night. We talk about Dan Campbell, of course, but it wasn't all Campbell in episode 2, Mark. There was a lot of your boy, Blauhard, stand up. But it was a little bittersweet.
Fudge!
What was that, Dave?
Fudge!
There was a little bit of bittersweetness to it all because it didn't end in a storybook way in episode 2.
That is the nature of David Blau. There's a reason he's often forgotten by the public for months at a time because he's, you know, nestled deep on the roster. But I think we learn more about the person, and there is a sense of tragedy to his on-field career potentially. But the person himself, I thought, did a nice job on Hard Knocks. I love this coaching staff, we'll just save it for your guys' comments, you and Colleen. I mean, the show is great.
Speak up.
I find this to be my favorite. I've had issues with Hard Knocks when it follows just typical beats, and like you get into episode 2 and 3, and it's the same old business. I feel completely different about this one. The energy of this team, and I even think with Dan Campbell, who I understand he's a bit of a soundbite machine, and people latch onto that. Last night, because they went into areas where the team was struggling here and there, I thought Dan Campbell, the teacher, Dan Campbell, the true motivator, the leader in good times and bad came out. And I think there's probably coaches around the league that think, look, that's great. He can be a rah-rah guy. Let's see if he can hang with Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay. We'll find out. But I do think that he's changed the Detroit Lions tangibly from everything we thought about them the entire time we've done this show.
Well, they're the ultimate, like, fall in love with the Hard Knocks team and then root for them and maybe overrate them. But I don't care. I'm in. I mean, I just hope that's not what we remember about Blau. We'll always have the Thanksgiving game, but that was a big moment.
That wasn't perfect either.
For Blau, that wasn't perfect, but at least it was
perfect,
something.
Like quarter and a half. Yeah.
I just hope he doesn't. I hope he makes the team. I mean, I hope, you know, both him and Tim Boyle make the team, because when Tim Boyle yelled out "Dimer, effing Dimer" with like no other teammates around him after he threw his touchdown pass, Tim Boyle is a truly bizarre quarterback. If you watched his games last year, and I'm not saying I would want him as my quarterback, but he's very compelling.
I was saying before the show when we were talking a little bit about Boyle, like, it's a great combination when you have a quarterback who's not good but also nuts.
But also has like a howitzer that they're just is totally unpredictable, that they're clearly intrigued by. They've been trying to give him this job, but I don't know if he's
totally unpredictable. Arm is what you're aiming for at this level of the sport.
And reminder to the UK fans listening to this show, Hard Knocks drops for you guys in international territory on Friday, so watch it and then check out the podcast with Connie and I.
That's how long it takes to send the tapes across the sea by boat.
It is. In some levels, it's still 1981. Let's get into it. Let's start with the Chargers, who get a deal done with Derwin James. 4 years, $76.4 million extension, $42 million guaranteed. He's the highest paid safety in league history. Don't tell Jamal Adams. It's like an information campaign now in Seattle, just shutting out everything from the outside.
I think Jamal should be fine with North Korea. He's been taken care of financially.
I'm sure he's fine. Derwin James, fantastic. When healthy, hasn't always been the case, but obviously the 26-year-old is someone that the Chargers, Mark, believe in very much to be a mainstay in the back of their defense.
Well, it starts with Brandon Staley, who's, you know, spent the last two off seasons reconstructing this defense, and sometimes regime changes change what you feel about the player. He could not be more all in. He called him the signal caller and the heartbeat of the defense. He said he also does not look at Derwin as a safety, which I think, but as an impact player, I think that was probably great for the Derwin James Holden camp and the agent, when you're like, you're not going to just get paid as a safety. You're going to get paid as the most expensive safety, because you're way more than just one positional type of player. And I would look at this Chargers defense on top of who they added in free agency, J.C. Jackson. You've got Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack. I think that Brandon Staley, with a healthy Derwin James, is set up to do what he wants. And if you're Tom Telesco, these are your first round picks over the last 5 years. Justin Herbert, Joey Bosa, Derwin James, Rashawn Slater, and Mike Williams.
Yum.
Tom Telesco needs to win playoff games, but there's no question that he's found a way to build a team.
Well, that's four, because I think Herbert's going to get there. Four first-team All-Pros right there. Like, Slater's going to get there. James is there.
I mean, you can't.
Bosa's there. I'm not putting Mike Williams there, but that's also a good pick.
That's brilliant work by your front office. Derwin, to bring in talent like that.
And Derwin James is a perfect match of coach and scheme. I think when he says, like, he's not just a safety, it's like last year they needed him to play coverage more. They needed him to be a cornerback more because of what their team looked like. He helped Nasir Adderley really improve as the safety next to him. They can kind of fit him in to whatever they need, not just in a given week, and they really use him in a million different ways depending on the game plan, but in a given season. And that's like so valuable, that if there's injuries here, he can cover you there. We know what he's like as a pass rusher, as a playmaker, as a coverage guy. There just really aren't many guys like him. And it was great to see last year that he could stay healthy for the whole season. I think there's hope now, even another year removed from all those surgeries, that he'll be even more explosive.
You wonder where Raiders at Chargers week one, where the September Madness selection committee comes down on that one. We'll get
not
to that
low.
A little bit later.
We'll find out.
It's getting buried a little bit. I noticed that at 4:25. I know it's 4:25, but you know it's opposite Packers, Vikings, Chiefs, Cardinals. Like, it's not getting the spot.
Too bad, Greg. It's not 4:20, right?
Hey, 4:20, bro.
Greg knows about 4:20.
That was my favorite Damashek bit. That He just ran
Newsroom
into the ground.
Newsroom classic, yeah.
Just no matter what it was during Damashek's, you know, 7 years I think we were with him at the company or more, if it was 420 and he was in NFL media building, he yelled out. You could be like rooms away and you just hear from far away, 420, bro. Ow!
There were, I think because we had so many like executives over the years couched in those newsrooms that their response to that was variable.
Right. It was right. Hilarious that he would do that.
Including that one boss in the corner who would crush a coffee mug in his hand when he heard Damashek's voice. All right. Love Sheck. In other news, the Jets did not have any bad surprises when Zach Wilson had his knee surgery. Turns out it was a cleanup of the meniscus, and it's a bone bruise. And the 2 to 4 week time frame for the second year quarterback appears to hold. So he's very questionable for week one. I would not anticipate seeing Zach Wilson in week one, but you never know. Obviously, I wasn't on the show on Monday. My thoughts are, I think all Jets fans really need to be aware that this might not work out. I'm trying to be very, I've always tried to be optimistic about Wilson, but since the day he's been drafted, after I went all in on Sam Darnold, I try to keep Wilson at a little bit more of a distance. This is now his second knee injury in 2 years. He had some health issues at BYU, staying healthy. He's not a big guy, even though he has bulked up. And I'm prepared for whatever happens with Zach Wilson, and I would not be surprised if Joe Flacco plays more than many Jets fans anticipate this season. So that's kind of like the headspace I'm in. I'm hopeful he's going to get healthy, stay healthy, be better on a better team. But this to me is just another little red flag as someone who's been through this a million times. His inability to stay healthy for a guy that needs the reps, a guy that needs to show big improvement. I'm happy we dodged the bullet because it would have been a huge organizational setback if he blew out his knee, because they would have been in a really bad situation where they would have had to get through this year and then give Wilson a chance next year. And then if he didn't do well next year, you know what happens next and you're starting over. Now they still looks like they'll be able to evaluate him. But I think he's going to be on a short leash with this organization. I just feel that.
I think that expectation setting is similar to the expectation setting that the Jets are putting out through the media about whether he'll play week one or not. Because even though there was that 2 to 4 week time frame, basically anyone who had a source inside the Jets was like, don't expect him week one. And great, if he surprises and he gets ready early, but they're going to want to be careful. I think they were careful about his injury last year during the season when he sat back down and made sure he was really ready. And he did come back a little fresher, a little better. He needed those reps. You know, the six reps he had to me were as concerning as the injury that he had. But maybe he'll be back for what used to be the big bowl on this podcast, Jets-Browns. Now I guess it's losing like a little bit of spice since the Sizzler jumped off.
A little more depressing.
A little bit significant amount of spice. You know, the
Who
idea,
knows? We'll see where this thing
a
goes.
A Joe Flacco versus Jake Brissett matchup doesn't exactly scream to me.
It's a good point.
Know, on the bracket for week three or two or whatever.
Our week one bracket, we mentioned this on our last episode. For you as a Jets fan, this isn't what you wanted, but you do get Joe Flacco versus Lamar Jackson. A little bit of an old Wild West
revenge shoot.
Well, I think
that's something, yeah, we'll talk about that in the tournament and if that makes it a better game or a worse game, hold that thought. Let's move on. In other news, Drew Locke. You know, Greg, I hope this wasn't something that led to a fist pump, because that would not be a good luck for you. Drew Locke tested positive for COVID-19. He'll miss the week two preseason game against the Bears for the Seahawks. So this was his big chance after Geno Smith got the start in week one for Locke to say, remember me, keep me in mind, I should be the starter. Well, now Geno slides back in as the starter. He's going to, you would imagine, get more reps. And now Geno, Greggy, feels like he has a big lead in this battle.
Yeah, I think it's over. I think it was probably over anyways, just based on the first game that I think the mistake Locke made at the end of it. But they had a plan that Locke's going to start the second game, and he you know, took first team reps in practice Tuesday before they realized he had tested positive. So that was the first time all offseason. But even then, in the press conference right after practice, before they knew he had corona, Pete Carroll, who answers every question as if he's like a big Geno Smith fan and wants to tamp down Drew Lock hype, said, well, don't make no mistake. Geno is still our number one, but we're going to give Lock this one chance. I don't think there was much doubt in my mind. But any doubt is gone now. I don't even think Lock won't wind up starting any preseason games now, because I think they'll want Geno to do the third one.
I'll reference the title of an absurd book looking at the JFK assassination, a look back that basically just painted Oswald as the lone gunman without any other nuance or research. Case closed. Geno's starting week one.
Wait, the entire book had no nuance or research?
Zero. If you open it, the pages are empty.
This is a very salty topic between Mark and I, because clearly Oswald acted alone, and people just want more answers because they don't want to – people don't want to accept the reality that one man, no matter how small he is in society, if he wanted to take down the most powerful man in the world, he could. That's scary. That's frightening.
Just happened in Japan, not the most powerful man in the world, but the former prime minister.
11-22-63. I understand it, Mark. Conspiracy people, it's fertile ground.
Well, hold on. By
but
the way,
at some point,
the majority
it's time to just move on.
The majority
and
of the country disagrees with you.
That doesn't matter, because people don't want to face reality.
Have the last 5 to 10 years and kind of no one accepting obvious answers for many things in our society.
Greg,
changes
mind. Do even a particle of research, and I'll discuss the topic with you.
I told you it's a spicy topic between me and the Sessler. And Greg tried to wade in, and he just got electroshocked.
Well, he didn't like who I was connecting him to there. Just
well,
like
it's not connected.
You know, a lot of conspiracy theorists out there.
It's not connected, and you're doing an ill job with that. Move
those
on.
Conspiracy theorists like kind of ruined it for the other conspiracy theorists people. I feel like you're like a good conspiracy theorist person. You don't deserve to be grouped in with that other group, Mark. I
thank
understand.
You, and I also don't group myself in with that other group. thanks for the confirmation.
Whoa.
Though. I don't know what happened to my voice there.
All right. Carl Nassib is back with the Bucks, 29 years old. The NFL's only openly gay player. He was released by the Raiders in a salary cap move back in March. But here he is, back with the Bucks. He spent two seasons there, reunited with Todd Bowles. Greg, a nice addition here for Tampa, a guy that maybe was overpaid by the Raiders but was not ineffective.
No, I think he played pretty well with the Raiders as like a role player. And I think it's just it's good to see him back in the NFL. I think it would have been a disappointing end. And there's no guarantee he makes the team, but it would have been a disappointing end that, you know, the NFL's first openly gay player, and he loses his job the next season and he doesn't come back. Because I just didn't think that there was anything going on beyond the scenes. And there's a lot of players out there right now that don't have jobs that I'm surprised about. Trey Flowers is one. Like, J.C. Treader is a guy who's the NFLPA head where no one's brought up the B word, blackball, but it's like, this guy just played 72 straight games or whatever it is as a pretty good center in the league, and no owner is giving him a job. It seems a little sketchy. So,
and there are two teams with center issues.
Right, and so I was happy to see NASA back
and
in
more.
The league. And I think he's gonna be valuable to them. They're very thin.
I'm just saying that
the Bucks and Browns were both shattered at the pivot position.
But there might be in the pivot other teams that aren't feeling so hot about it, but they're not being public about it. That's all I was saying. At least two.
The Vikings. The Vikings with Garrett Bradbury.
I have no idea where you're going with this.
I don't think he's just saying.
This is like when Schrager didn't realize that Bruce Willis killed John Travolta in Pulp Fiction.
Spoiler.
On GMFB today.
I don't know if it's that on if it's to that degree, because you're being very vague, but I'm saying there are two teams we know of that easily.
There's
like
probably
JC
more
Treader.
Is what he's saying,
well,
which I think is true.
Possible.
The Vikings, that's another one.
Right.
And spoiler.
A lot of spoilers.
Yeah, it's been a while. Although it kind of spoiled it, because at some point I would watch Pulp Fiction again, and by now I've forgotten that. I actually didn't.
I have no.
Well, that's what happened.
That.
That's what happened to Peter Schrager, I think. But I also don't have a lot of sympathy for the concept of that. Not, it's not an anti-Peter
no,
Schrager thing.
I don't
you
either.
Need to, he's wonderful.
Make that clear.
It's not. It's, I think a lot you're of just, people. I think if you watched it in 1994 and have not watched it since, it would be easy for things to escape.
Right. I think sure. At this point, though, Schrager and Mark's relationship, I don't know if it's going to recover at this
No, it's
point.
Great. I tweeted at him and he tweeted right
well,
back at me.
Well, the elevator said, incident is something that we don't, you know.
That was a positive,
the
though.
Respect.
Well,
You are attempting to frame it a certain way, as you've been doing all show with a variety of topics, but this is just, you know, another one of those things.
But to your point, good that Nassib got a job, because I remember
he deserved to. If you look at his PFF grade last year, he played quite well.
Yeah, back in March when he got released, I said on the show, I was like, yeah, keep an eye on this one, because now if he doesn't get signed, it would not be good optics for the league, and I'm glad he's still in the league.
And on some level, even though you'd like to think it's not a factor, it's not a total surprise that it's Todd Bowles and this Bucs staff that's giving him the job. Like the most kind of open and diverse staff in NFL history, essentially.
They're probably lucky that Cam Gill had a foot injury too. That's sort of what opened the door for this. But you're right.
Like,
they're bringing him back.
They're thin there. They do not have a third rusher.
In other news, man, we talked about the Blauhard Nation. Kimdiche Nation is in mourning today. The former first rounder, he was cut by the 49ers. And is he going to sing a song? No, I'm not. The songs, I like to sing the songs during times of hope for Kimdiche when he's joining a new team. This makes me concerned because, you know, now several teams have said goodbye. He's not getting younger. I hope I sing about Kimdiche again. But we don't know. And finally in the news, speaking of players who had wild pre-draft stories, I want to bring this up because I watched it last night, the Manti Te'o documentary on Netflix. It's called Untold. It's part of a series, The Girlfriend Who Didn't Exist. And if you were someone that works in football or is a football fan or just remembers the story, I cannot recommend this enough because it really does give you such a better understanding of everything behind it, both the victim in this, and make no mistake, Manti Te'o was very much a victim in this catfishing scam. And the man, now woman, identifies as a transgender woman who catfished Te'o during his final years at Notre Dame. And I think it's really sad. It's a really sad story. And we were covering the NFL for NFL media when all this went down. I remember
I was at that combine where he spoke, and it was 400,
a zoo, and you see clips of that. I remember being in the second level at Radio City Music Hall interviewing then Notre Dame coach Brian Kelly about the Te'o when he got drafted finally by the Chargers. He fell out of the first round because of this scandal. And then you learn more about him. He speaks on how it stuck with him after, as you would expect. And he said it affected him on the football field. It kind of changed the way he approached life, the way he felt about things. His instincts weren't the same. And, you know, you could say, all right, but also maybe he wasn't a guy that was a good fit in the NFL. Maybe he wouldn't have lasted. And he did hang around with the Chargers, then the Saints. He bounced around a little bit. He's currently out of the league.
Eight-year career.
Yeah, so which is nice. But the falling out of the first round cost him millions. And the fact that he probably didn't get to reach, I believe him, after watching this, that took a toll on him mentally and physically. So check it out. I can't endorse it more if you're someone that wants to hear the human side of that story.
I'm looking forward. Sounds strange because it's a strange story, but I am looking forward to watching that. I think if you weren't around for that time, to me, it's like the definitive Deadspin era story.
Right.
Like, it was a different online culture at that moment, and more than anything, and maybe it was like kind of a sign of things to come. There's certainly stories that just take over the internet now too, but that was like one of the first unique stories, I think, that just to me was like internet culture in a nutshell.
I'll never forget being in our newsroom when that story launched, and suddenly, you know, loud newsroom, it goes silent because everyone in there is starting to read it, and it's a long epic of a tale, and they were quiet for a long time.
And Deadspin, we hear from and see some of the principal people behind the piece and the reporting that kind of exposed the lie, and I guess I should say, cause maybe some people don't know, that Manti Te'o, who was a star linebacker, had a girlfriend, an online girlfriend that he had not met, that he fell in love with and thought he was in a real relationship. It turned out not to be even a woman, and it became a huge story because this woman, man at the time, had attempted to get out of it by saying that his girlfriend had died. So when his grandmother died the same day that he was told that his girlfriend died, he said that to the media and it became a huge story, but it turned out to be not true. So it was blown up, and it was just a crazy story and interesting how society has changed, because he was vilified by people, Teo, and a lot of the conversation was, oh, he must be gay. That was what everyone really? Was asking wow. about Manti Te'o after this, instead of taking his word for it or giving him the benefit of the doubt. Really sad in some ways, many ways, actually. All right, let's take a break. And when we come back, September Madness.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all, but here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean.
Yeah. But I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Okay. I love Walker Hayes. He's amazing. He's so fun. Such a great entertainer. And that's why I'm so excited that JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. The Walker Hayes for JCPenney collection is an upbeat playlist of instant classics with laid-back appeal and down-home vibes. As a dad of 7 kids, he knows exactly what fathers want and need when it comes to their style. This collection reflects his casually cool styles with outdoor-inspired details and versatile colors. Perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Welcome back. March Madness, whatever. Not such a big deal. The one shining moment we care about is September. September football, September Madness. Is there a word instead of madness that allows us to have that sizzle, the double M sizzle, an SS? September
sizzle. Mm. Yeah, I mean, it was right there for you. I like
that's
it.
Not, that's
September
not
sizzle.
You want to go? I don't know. Two writers, I thought. I was
September.
Hoping
what if you flip and go like sensuous September?
Surprising like to have, September.
Yeah, I like to have the month first.
Okay.
All right, let's workshop.
September right. Sex. Right. Oh, wait, no, that's, see, Greg, that's accurate. Not accurate.
You've gone in the wrong man. Direction.
All right. This is what we're doing. We are excited for week one. How could you not be excited for week one? Like Greg said, like the reason why I love the draft, for instance, it's hope season. Everyone's feeling good about their team, and everybody.
Until at like 4 o'clock Eastern.
All right, calm down, right, well. Tortured Browns fan. Everyone is thrilled for the start of a new season. I can remember being a kid and getting up early, and, you know, I was like, Mom, I'm going to church early. You got to. I'm going to the 11 a.m. mass. I need to clear the decks for the start of another season. I woke up with a bounce in my step, and I still do on some level, even after all the years of misery for my own fandom. So there's hope for everyone. Yes, even Jets fans, even Browns fans. Well, let's not talk about the Browns, but we will talk about the Browns because we're going to go through each game in week one, bracket style. And yes, you can't. Don't get mad at me. I am, don't shoot the messenger. The selection committee has ranked all 16 games, 1 through 16.
You were the selection committee.
This, again, we don't need to dive in. This is like the JFK assassination. This is not the time or place to try to figure things out.
Don't investigate.
How things happen. Yeah. There's no conspiracy here. This is
case
what
closed.
It is. Case closed. The selection committee has come in with a 1 through 16. Let's start with the bracket. And if you're watching on YouTube, you can see this beautiful bracket behind us.
If ever there's a show to watch on YouTube, this is it. Soon we have Randy playing a Vanna White role, but that's coming up in a little bit.
Yeah, Chavez Ravine is in studio for the first time. I'm excited about that. So let's start. And again, like we said at the top, the Buffalo Bills, who are everyone's Super Bowl darling pick this year, are traveling to SoFi Stadium to face the defending champion Rams on Thursday night in the kickoff game on September 8th. That's obviously a big favorite to win this bracket, but we'll see. We'll start with the one seed. Of course, it's Buffalo at Los Angeles against the 16 seed. And again, I didn't choose these, but if you have any issues with the seedings, absolutely share that. That's a good way to get into conversation about these games as well. So it's Buffalo at Rams, number one, against Jacksonville at Washington, 16 seed. And again, Jaguars fans, Commanders fans, I understand we're about to, you know, take command on a new season, but somebody had to be 16.
Well, you did what CBS is going to do, or Fox. I'm not really sure. They're going to get the seventh, you know, broadcast team. But this seeding does get to sort of what are you looking for in week one. And as much as I'm not going to be like too hipstery and pick Jags Washington here, there is part of me that is more interested in seeing the Jaguars specifically play a game of football in the year 2022, especially week one, than I am about the Rams and the Bills, just because I expect the Rams and the Bills to be there at the end of the year. And if they start out slow or something crazy happens where it's a one-sided game, Bills-Rams, I'm not going to read too much into that because I trust that these organizations are as consistent as any in the NFL and they'll get there in the end. Whereas Jags, like, the Jags are all new. ETN's new. Trevor Lawrence in his second year. Like, I am very intrigued to watch this Jaguars team, and it almost makes me want to vote for them right off the bat to be a little 16 versus 2 St. Mary's.
I mean, you can if you want.
Mount St. Mary's, by the way, which is in West L.A. I don't know where it is, and yet I've probably driven by it every time, Mount St. Mary's.
And that said, the committee, I'm not sure who's on the committee, nailed the 16th seed here because it is very clearly that game. And I do find the Jaguars intriguing. Because
they're frisky this year.
They went through like a traumatic experience last year. So how does Trevor Lawrence recover? What does it look like with Doug Peterson not being pissed off and operating with a new team, with a new chance there? Washington does not intrigue me as much. I feel like if Washington were to lose this game, it begins a journey that could be very troubling for a team that does not have a lot of juice and that I struggle to believe in. I don't find their playoff berth a couple years ago genuine, and I think what happened last year was much closer to reality. And you'd have to be an anarchist, Greg, for me to join you on voting for Jaguars.
I'm not voting because of Washington. But if I was, you'd make the argument, this might be as interesting as Washington is all year.
Would you not say that Bills-Rams is the best kickoff game we've had in a very long time? I'm searching for one that intrigued me more.
I can't think of one off the top of my head.
It's a great game. Good job by the schedule makers. So let's move on. And Chavez Ravine's going to update over here.
He's playing the John King role on the
– get ready.
Tell us.
So Rams, Bills.
The Rams, Bills move on out of that bracket. Let's now go to the 215. And this surprised some people. We have Raiders at Chargers. A lot of talk about the AFC West and what a fun division that is. Well, right off the gate, we got Raiders, Chargers again here at SoFi. That's an accident. Not an accident. That was not on purpose. That's not some LA bias. None of us are Los Angeles fans. Maybe Mark is now for the Bolts, but they are the 2 seed here.
Interesting.
Against the 15 seed, Duck in the Tomatoes, sensitive folks incoming, Giants at the number 1 seed in the AFC last year, the Titans. So Raiders at Chiefs versus Giants at Titans. Who's coming out of this matchup?
Well, I definitely am more intrigued by the rematch of the Chargers-Raiders, which was maybe the game of the year in Week 18. But I do find it interesting. The committee feels very differently than the broadcast teams. Now, Week 1 is the only week, I believe, all season. Maybe there's some at the very end where there's two national games mm-hmm. in the late window. But there's only 4 games total. And these 2 games that are matching up here are the 2 ones that aren't national. Raiders-Chargers is getting buried with like a 4th team, and so is this Giants-Titans game. But I, as much as I'm curious to see what's happening with this Giants team specifically, because they're such a mystery to me with their offense and Dable and Saquon's looking good, and it's like 5 slot receivers. This is not that intriguing a matchup.
This is more intriguing for me that the Giants have been in a long, long time. And so I want to watch this game. And I think I know this is a constant drumbeat, and I don't always buy Titans fans with their nonstop irritation with everything on how they're dealt with by the press. But this is disrespect for them to be the 15th seed. They were the number 1 seed in the AFC. I mean, in any other year, if that were the Ravens or the Steelers, they'd be on primetime instead of getting buried here against the Giants.
It's a tough one because all of these babies are beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even want to say.
Some of them grow up to be problematic adults.
They do, but just they're coming out the womb. A Week 1 game, they're all beautiful to me. So I don't like talking negatively about any.
Why don't we build a separate bracket of all the number 1 seeds that have come out of the conferences in the last 20 years and tell me how the Titans do in that, the 2021 Titans.
I hear what you're saying. It's just it's a strange place for them to be. But I would rather watch Raiders.
Is
with
your
Josh
first
McDaniels and
chance
Chargers.
To see 5th-round pick Kyle Phillips as their slot receiver?
Oh, that doesn't get me going.
A little for the Giants, the camp reports have not been great in recent days about the offense. So just when I was getting sucked in, like, oh, maybe they'll be frisky. And maybe they will be. But the defense is destroying the offense of late, and the Daniel Jones hype articles have slowed down. We feel like the Raiders Chargers
are coming
seating, out of here?
The seeding was correct.
Right. It holds. Chalk Raiders, holds Chargers. On that one. Let's move back to the other side of the
Chavez
bracket.
Is loving this. He's a Raiders fan. He loves seeing his team back in the spotlight. Maybe he's not a Raiders fan.
He's actually a Packers fan.
Oh, my
Packers
God, I
fan.
Blew
nice
it.
Job, Greg. All right, how about a little 9-8 action? This is always fun. This is the one in March that you want to check out. How about the Philadelphia Eagles at Detroit Lions squaring off against the Pittsburgh Steelers at Cincinnati Bengals? Ooh, this is a toughie. Again, majority rules. What are you thinking, Mark?
Yeah, I initially made my own rankings of the games, and
sure.
I never would have thought this would have been the case a couple years ago. Eagles at Lions, and I'm a victim of the moment with Hard Knocks I get with the Lions. I just want to see what they are in real life come Week 1, and I think the Eagles, if you look what they did on that first drive, Jalen Hurts 6 for 6. They're announcing, we're not just going to run the ball 500 times this year. We've got A.J. Brown. We've got weapons. They're going to be different. I think they're going to be a very intriguing team in that division, which they could flat out win. The Cowboys are in distress and maybe go deeper than that. And so I am going to go against what I would in the past. I've seen the Steelers, to me, I want to see where they are by Week 4. Joe Burrow, I'm assuming he'll play, but he announced today that he had a ruptured appendix. It was just a
something was strange about that the whole time, where he was gone for weeks and they wouldn't talk about it, but he is back at practice.
He is. We'll see what happens there. But Bengals last year,
he'll play,
but the one thing I liked about the Bengals last year, and this is, remember when, like, around November when I started to get real amped up on them and they'd be up and down? It's
no.
Because here's what they did to Pittsburgh
no,
a year ago.
Against them.
Yes, I did, on our television show. Yes, I did. Here they beat the Steelers 24-10 and 41-10, and they beat the Ravens 41-17 and 41-21.
Ooh.
So they basically, I thought, announced to everyone, we can dominate
early
our division.
Early statement game here, because if they don't win this one, then suddenly you're like, okay, these are not.
I feel like they're being overlooked, and people are not. They're not being treated like the AFC title team.
I'm with you.
They really aren't, but I'm going to go Eagles-Lions.
It pains me because Eagles-Bengals is maybe the Super Bowl, the most realistic Super Bowl I want to see. So my two teams I'm just rooting for.
Sure.
Going up against each other. And Eagles-Lions was a terrible game last year. Remember how, like, ooh, the Lions, they're in every game. Nope, not against the Eagles. The Eagles wiped the floor with them a year ago. And so maybe the matchup is problematic for their defense, but there's no way I'm going against Eagles. And I want to see this Eagles team in week one, and I want to see this Lions team.
I think it's cool that the game's in Detroit, too. So you get all this build up to the game. You know, my vote is Pittsburgh at Cincinnati because I like AFC North slobber knockers. I want to see what's going on with Cincinnati, if they'll have a letdown. The quarterback situation, obviously, in Pittsburgh is so muddled still. I don't know. But I will go with that. But you guys both have Philadelphia, Detroit. So that is the choice.
It's our first upset.
Moving on. Moderate, an 8-9.
No, it is technically an upset.
Technically speaking. Absolutely. On the other side, how about a 10-7 showdown? You're doing great, Randy Chavez, by the way.
Very professional.
I apologize about the Raiders.
Yeah,
thing.
That was bad.
I mean,
it's
just embarrassing.
Speaking of the AFC North, speaking of Mark's former favorite team, the Cleveland Browns are a 10 seed against the Carolina Panthers. So Baker Mayfield against his old team, that is spicy, a 10, and are up against the Patriots at Dolphins. I like this one. This is a tough one because the Patriots, obviously there's intrigue around them every year. This year you're wondering what version of the Patriots are we going to get? How's the offense going to look with Josh McDaniels gone and everything, a new offense being installed there? Mac Jones, what does he do in year two? And, of course, Miami, expectations are through the roof for the Dolphins after their big acquisitions in the offseason. So I think the Dolphins need to win this game. I think they need to make a statement in the AFC East out of the bat, right off the bat. But Baker v. Cleveland's pretty nice.
It is, but I'd be fine watching kind of that out of the, on the side just to see moments with Baker and see what's happening because there's
the whole
something...
Mark on a Sunday thing is going to be strange here with the Browns.
It's going to be troubling.
Are you not going to be assigned Browns games?
I'm not going to take them anymore.
We'll see. Let's see where there are things that Mark can control in terms of the message, and there are things that we'll be able to see just by working with him on Sundays.
Or you could go to the source. I have no interest in watching them.
And this isn't to impugn upon your integrity, Mark. I'm saying once the season starts and the Browns are playing, will you not be involved?
Yeah, we'll see. It has been an off season of transition
in many ways, and the Browns have been the baby thrown out with the bathwater on many fronts. So I'm not interested.
Giving them baby status?
Well, I'm not interested in the Cleveland
Browns.
Here's
the thing. They're a dead team. They're the least interesting team in the NFL to me. And it's not just because, like, I'm rooting against them because of the Deshaun Watson trade, and I am. They're boring. They're starting Jacoby Brissett. At some point this week, most likely, we'll learn how long Watson's gone for, and it's going to be long enough, I anticipate, to cripple their season. They're not interesting, and even though the Baker versus Browns thing is spicy,
that's
for
delicious.
Sure.
It is.
I can see the Browns, and I'm projecting a lot here, but to me the Browns are a defensive team. It might not be an incredibly watchable game, even though I would expect a kind of a low scoring slug it out type of game with Jacoby Brissett throwing a lot of 4-yard passes. This thing isn't close. I want to see McD and whatever's going on in New England, because that's a mess.
I do think from the Patriots,
it's
Dolphins,
an intriguing game.
It is.
They saw the setup here, and they're like 7-10 seed. Ooh, we got a good draw here.
We're in this world.
They tried to give Western Kentucky a 10 seed because they won their conference.
Everyone is saying the Patriots are in chaos, right?
Yes.
The Patriots are lost. Bill Belichick has finally been passed by. He's a defensive coach that has no concept of how to run an offense.
Yes,
right.
Saying that.
He's handed his offense over to Joe Judge and Matt Patricia.
Matt
Jones' career. Well, all this stuff is what's happening right now.
I understand.
And he's going up against a totally different version of coach, Mike McDaniel, offensive boy genius. I kind of love the idea of New England coming in here and being like, not so fast. So this game is more intriguing.
We've gotten
to me.
This game, by the way, back-to-back years. And they're close. New England does not do well in Miami. Electric.
They have historically not performed well there. You're right. In South Beach, and it's going to be hot and humid. Anyway, if Baker was going to Cleveland,
that's different.
That would have gotten my vote. But because it's not that way, the game will be in Charlotte. Yes, I'm with you. A nice AFC East showdown between two teams that are looking to take out the Bills. So it will be New England and Miami that moves on, Greg. I'm sure you're pumped about that.
Okay, so we're halfway through the first round. That's usually where you have a day off in the NCAA tournament.
Well, let's take a day off. We'll see you tomorrow.
It's like you, cut to the post game show, and Charles Barkley is just like having strong opinions about a team he didn't watch at all. The whole
season. All right, let's take a break and we'll keep going.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, I love Walker Hayes. He's amazing. He's so fun, such a great entertainer. And that's why I'm so excited that JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. The Walker Hayes for JCPenney collection is an upbeat playlist of instant classics with laid-back appeal and down-home vibes. As a dad of seven kids, he knows exactly what fathers want and need when it comes to their style. This collection reflects his casually cool styles with outdoor-inspired details and versatile colors. Perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
All right, we're back. Here's number 4 seed Denver at Seattle. Number 13, Saints at Atlanta. And I know Greg's going to be upset with the committee because the Saints and Falcons.
I see where the committee does. What the committee does here. The committee is trying to set up problems.
Committee's job is to create the best possible tournament.
What you tried to do, because you are the committee, was give the Saints Falcons
case closed
the worst possible matchup here, and it doesn't matter. I'm still going to vote Saints Falcons. I don't care. That is the game I want to see. But obviously Broncos.
Would you mind telling me why that is the game you want to see?
Although it is Geno versus Seattle.
I know, Greg. At some point, you've got to check in with your internal.
So you have Russell Wilson going to Seattle, and then to top it off, Geno Smith will be the quarterback going against Russell Wilson.
Okay, you're right.
That's a great. Right, I think it's Monday Night Football.
It's probably moving on in this bracket. You're right. The reason I wouldn't is football wise. Saints and Falcons are two of the teams why I love Week 1 so much, because I just like, to me, they're total, to use like something Mark, like a beautiful mystery. I want to see what this Falcons team looks like. I want to see what this Jameis Winston Saints team looks like with all these new weapons. Like, and this will be the first time for both of them, and it's a great rivalry. I think they got jobbed by the committee, but I changed my mind. Mark.
I'm high on the Saints as well. The Falcons are like you guys are saying about the Browns, they just, to me, lack sizzle, so it makes it to me.
So they seem so much more watchable.
They might, but here's the one thing. I think that Arthur Smith, we're going to learn, they won 7 games a year ago with a nothing roster. I think he's a better coach and way more creative than he's getting credit for. I look at what he did with Cordarrelle Patterson, and even in their first preseason game, the way that they used Marcus Mariota and then Desmond Ridder, and I could see both of them in the game in various ways, as ground quarterbacks, I think they're going to be a weird watch. And so I'm intrigued to watch them, but I'm not going to vote for them over this Monday night clash.
It's like the old cliche, it's like, hey, they could play in a parking lot and these teams would go at it. They could play in a high school field.
The committee meant no disrespect, Greg.
Just for the tweets from Falcons and Saints fans, this is a great.
All right, on the other side of the bracket, we have the 3 seed, Tampa at Dallas. Interesting. So Tom Brady going to North Texas to face the Cowboys. Always
we
box
think
office.
Tom Brady. We hope.
Most likely Tom Brady. And then against the 14 seed, Colts at Texans. So, listen. I will say I'm interested to watch the Colts with Matt Ryan, just like everyone else, to see if the offense takes that step and it can be just better and more functional and professional than it was certainly down the stretch with Carson Wentz. I'm not buying into some of the Texans heat that's popped up a little bit around these parts yet. Maybe they will be fun to watch.
We got Texans over corner over here.
Yeah, no, I'm not dumping on the Texans. I'm just saying, okay, let's see it before I'm actually in. But I have to – Bucks, Tom Brady at Dallas. To me, as a football fan, it scratches the itches that I like. That's a big game. That's a big vibe. And I think it'll be fun just to watch Tom Brady every time he plays for however long this lasts.
The one thing I like about Colts, Texans, and I do think the Texans are going to be a tougher out than people expect. Damian Pierce, the running back, looks awesome. Davis Mills is competent. Brandon Cooks, Nico Collins. They're not the offense from a year ago. If you're the Colts, you crumbled and had to reorganize the entire offense, starting with your quarterback, because you could not beat the Jags in Week 17 in a must-win game. If they come out of here and lose to the Texans, that you're back in another disaster. Ooh. So there's a lot of pressure on the Colts. I think the Cowboys, who had, I think, 17 penalties in their first preseason game, after leading the league in penalties a year ago and having a disastrous penalty situation in their playoff loss to the Niners, that had Mike McCarthy already having to back off and answer questions about, yes, we're disciplined, that feels like a tire fire in the making to me. But I just want to see the Bucks and what they can be. So I'm obviously going to go Dallas, Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I don't need to go too long. But technically, this is the fifth CBS morning game, and it's rank 5. They put them in order. So they have one more game than Fox. So technically, the lowest ranked broadcast team, by at least in the eyes of the broadcasters, CBS will be on this Colts Texans.
And if you're one of those broadcasters listening to
that's
this,
what they think.
Please
about
excuse
it.
Greg's inability to build.
No,
a
I mean
you.
I don't know who it's going to be. There's some great deep cuts, and sure, there's some not as into.
And I believe you said week 17, Mark, that game with the Colts.
Week 18. I understand.
So there's 17 games.
We just
now
want to get things right on this show.
You know what I meant. 17th game,
hey,
end
Mark,
of the season, a disaster.
Case closed.
Well, I cannot argue then. This is a Watergate-level disaster.
We need to just title our podcast today, Case Closed.
All right, here we go. Here's the 12-seed Ravens at the New York Jets. A little Flacco versus Ravens, most likely, up against the number 5-seed Chiefs at Cardinals. I like putting the Chiefs on the road in week one. I like Kyler Murray on his redemption tour after what's been, yes, a very well-paid offseason, but also one where the doubters have come out. See where the Cardinals are, no DeAndre Hopkins. See where the Chiefs are, obviously, with no Tyreek Hill. This is, even though I'm a Jets fan and I'll obviously be watching Jets-Ravens, this feels like an easy one to pick.
Yeah, there's 4 quarterbacks between these two games. You know, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Kyler Murray, and Joe Flacco. It's like whichever game has the Joe Flacco, right, you're gone.
Well,
I mean, just because
how about we count Super Bowl rings and Super Bowl MVPs and red Corvettes on the field after the game?
I'm talking about
Corvette.
What do I want to watch? The three best examples of like
Flacco
this generation
elite
of quarterbacks. And you know,
can I share my other? It's not great for the Jets because this is not the way they were supposed to develop, and it's not good news for Joe Douglas. But not only do I think that Joe Flacco is going to have to play in a lot this season, I think he's going to have a potentially good year.
Well,
all the camp reports are glowing.
He's like
and
14
he,
for 17 like
he
day
has,
after day.
Well, he was
has
better,
a better
than Zach Wilson
line
than last year, and there's a lot of reason to think he and even Mike White might, you know, there's a chance they're better
I don't
than
know about
Zach
Mike
Wilson.
White. Mike White is.
He had 2 games, and one of them was better than basically Zach Wilson's best game.
That Mike White game never happened, I've decided. The game against the Bengals, go back and try to find it in the archives. It didn't exist.
I'm with you. Flacco might get off to a good start and then get it.
Look out. No, because let's say he gets off to a good start when Wilson's healthy. He's the number 2 pick. He's going to go back in. But if he Zach Wilson's it like he did in year 1 and the Jets are, you know,
Here's the problem. It's 2022, and we're talking about Joe Flacco for like the fourth time on this show. That's the problem. I absolutely am going Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
After everything that has happened this offseason,
yeah,
I can't think of almost anyone.
I'm with you.
No, I know you are. I know you are. But it's like this isn't a totally intriguing situation.
Randy's writing it in. Randy's subtle way of saying move on, guys.
All right, that's good. That's Chavez really steering the show properly. All right, finally,
he's got places to be.
The opposite bracket, we have the number 11 seed 49ers at the Chicago Bears. Up against the number 6 seed Green Bay Packers at Minnesota Vikings. Mark, you raised your hand almost in disgust. An issue with the selection committee on this one?
No. I don't. It's just that it's so clear to me. It's like, I get it. I want to see the Vikings come out and say, this is a different version under Kevin O'Connell of Kirk Cousins and this team. Maybe you are. You have to win this game to prove that to me. Trey Lance, after what we just saw in that preseason game, I think Kyler Murray is the most interesting watch for me as a quarterback, just out of weirdness. But the most interesting debut around the league is Trey Lance and how it translates. Because if he is what we saw in that game, and it was only 5 attempts, so I don't want to overreact to it. There's more to go. It's a bad Bears team. It certainly looks like it. This Niners team suddenly looks completely different to me, complexion-wise, and they become a team I'm fascinated with.
Love both these games. Tough draw for both teams. You know,
tough draw.
It came out and they're just like, they're disappointed.
Like,
but week one to me is about new stuff. And to me, even the Bears, that's new. This offense with Justin Fields, Trey Lance, that's new. We've seen a lot of Cousins versus Rodgers. It is a different coaching staff. The Packers defense is intriguing. I think they might be catching the Packers. So I'm looking forward to both these games a lot. But to me, it's an easy
This is
for
a big
49ers.
Upset. This is an 11 over a 6.
Oh,
right here.
Okay. 49ers are the 11. Yeah, I'm going Bears 49ers.
Yeah, I'm going Packers Vikings. I think it's going to be a much better game.
That's a good point. It could be.
I mean,
did the committee possibly? I don't think that there was a.
You want a close game? I think.
I think there are certain.
We needed an upset.
I think there are certain teams that this side of the table aligns on, and you guys have a torrid love affair for the 49ers, so right. They were going to advance.
This the side committee, of the table is the committee being one human.
Now the Bears. What does that mean?
Your side of the table.
Oh.
No, you said this side of the table, meaning you.
He's
and
just
you,
mad because
you
are we've your agreed, side of the we've table. Agreed too much, and then it's 2-0, and then his one doesn't help.
Well,
he's just a host. He wants the best program.
There's a little. I'm not just a host. There's a little groupthink going on with a
check
him
out
a
power
teams.
Rankings where he's just like providing analysis. He's
there,
not a host.
There are a few.
I
there are
the
few
most
teams that are,
team.
I have to say there are a few teams that it's on my radar a little bit that you guys are completely. Locked in step on, and I'm just going to be tracking this very closely in season.
Things change. We jump off boards, but if that...
The Niners, the Texans, the Saints.
I mean, the Texans, I don't want to... The Texans are not one of my teams. I just love them over 4.5.
There couldn't be a critical thing said about any of those teams on this side of the table, the new Kissing Cousins.
No, it's pushing against the concept that the people just calling the Texans like a ship.
I just like 4.5. I'm a businessman.
Right.
I think they'll get 7, maybe 6
All
or
right.
7.
That's his
so
genesis.
Anyway, listen, I like it. That's an underdog. Let's see if the 49ers can be beaten in this exercise.
You know, that's a good point, though, Dan. You want the best game possible, and that's a good point to make. I think you're right that Packers-Vikings might be the game of the week or something in terms of coming down to the end. So even though I'm sticking with my pick,
I feel like I've witnessed it 650 times.
And I don't think Green Bay at Minnesota had any chance with Mark either because he despises both those teams. So that was
weirdly
that is a bad draw.
No, they're dull.
I think it was a bad draw.
It was a bad draw for the
everybody.
Packers and Vikings.
Oh, we're on to the
all right.
To
here
the
we go.
Round.
Now let's get into it. We're
if,
down
if you're
into
watching
the
on YouTube, you can see Randy who Chavez Ravine. Maybe it's just the name Chavez
Ravine.
We weren't ready for this. Chavez has a great head of hair, and the lighting
excellent.
Is totally showing it
all
off.
Right, so if you can move out of the way, Randy, so the audience on YouTube. You can stand right in the middle, actually.
You fit right in the middle.
Stand in the middle and then point with two hands. No, move over a little bit. A little bit over.
And like more, audio listeners who
more.
Are like,
no,
hey,
other hand.
You're forgetting about us.
There we go.
This is like one time in 1,050 episodes.
Right, here we
you're
go.
Fine.
Rams-Bills. Against Eagles Lions. I love it. So you have the number 1 seed against the number 9 seed here. Let's throw the seeds on there, Randy, just to help me out as well. What do you guys think about this?
1 versus 9. I want to hear what you think. I feel like we've been going first too often.
I think I'm with you guys. I don't want it to, because you guys are pretty locked in on the Lions as well, it seems. in general. I'm intrigued by the Lions. I think they're further away potentially than people want to talk about because they're just such a fun story. But seeing them in Ford Field to open the season after this all this optimism, that's fun. The Eagles, you know, again, I'm not as in love with the Eagles as Greg Rosenthal is. I'm intrigued by them. It's a good matchup. But Rams-Bills is just, to me, that could be very well be the Super Bowl, so I don't want to overthink it.
I'm with you. I think the Eagles-Lions got as far as they need to go. If this were a real tournament, it's been a nice season. But I'm going Rams-Bills because it's like they're like.
I'm trying to like imagine what is the motivation here? The game had a nice season, you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, I'm treating them like a team. Like it's essentially they're a seeded team.
Good job,
team.
Thing.
Yeah. It's like Peterson. Yeah, not Doug Peterson. I mean, Dan Campbell and Sirianni are both like they're cooking up ways for this to be intriguing.
It's an event.
Let's keep it close, guys.
I'm really proud of you, inanimate object matchup.
I got to say that the matchup last year where the Eagles dog walked them and then the Lions defense is my concern. On paper, up front, they're good, but they were bad. They struggled last year, and this matchup was not good for them. And so I do worry that the Eagles could walk away with it. I'm with you, Rams Bills.
All right, let's move on then to the opposite bracket. We have that AFC West showdown. AFC West is so fun. This year, as we know, you can make a case really for any of the teams in the division. And two of those teams, the Chargers and the Raiders, face off in week one. So the number two seed game up against now an AFC East showdown. Pats, Dolphins. Greggy, you are a Patriots fan. I know you're intrigued by these Dolphins like we all are. Do they have enough to take out the AFC West, the best division in the league?
Yeah, they do.
Oh.
People didn't see this coming. And you know what? I'm a little like Mark is trying to be here. I like turn down the fan volume. I skip watching Patriots live for about half the games this season because I like to spread around like what I'm watching live throughout the season. You know, disconnect, not get as emotional. But I just think pure football-wise, this Patriots team could be anything. This Dolphins team could be anything. The Dolphins are as intriguing as almost any team in the league to me. And as much as this was a great matchup, Chargers, Raiders.
Those teams could be anything also. That's the whole hook of week one. How can you say those teams can't be anything?
That's fair. They're kind of like similar roster. I guess they don't have
a bad sign. Randy just looked at his watch.
Yeah, that's not looking good. Chargers are a team I'm familiar with. This matchup is a matchup I'm familiar with. I guess for some reason I feel like the Dolphins are totally this fresh egg, and the Patriots craziness in the preseason where everyone's talking about how bad they look actually makes me more intrigued about them because I just want to see what
Well, it makes
like.
Me more intrigued about the Raiders because the Raiders are thematically the reason that the Patriots are a mess because that Josh McDaniels left New England, leaving them in a hot mess and goes to the Raiders. And the reports are that the offense is looking intriguing. You've got Davante Adams with Derek Carr. Derek Carr always playing the card of like, no one's paying attention to us. Like even though 85% of sports writers thinks they'll probably make the postseason. I'm going Justin Herbert and the Chargers versus the Raiders.
All right, so I get to break the tie on this one. I think Chargers-Raiders is the game. And this is no shade to the AFC East matchup here because when I start to watch the games on Monday for power rankings, if the Dolphins-Patriots is a good game, I'm looking forward to watching that game. But there's a lot of juice in the Chargers, and they are a Super Bowl potential contender. And what does Davante Adams and that Raiders offense look like? At home, the black hole is such a fun vibe, even though the game's not
I don't know, though.
Hole.
This is supposed to be what so we fun. Believe in. I have a hard time believing Dan Hansis, Monday morning, September 12th.
Yeah.
Has these two games. They both end. He already knows both of them were good. Let's say they both went down to the end. That he's choosing Chargers, Raiders. I think the AFC East in him.
Dan's been a Raiders
Patriots
guy.
Did the Patriots win
though.
Or lose the game?
Let's say they lost.
I don't like the Dolphins either, though.
Okay, fair enough.
And Justin Herbert and my son Harrison loves Justin Herbert. I'm going with that game.
Okay, chalk so far. 1-2 seed into the semis.
All right, let's move on to the 4-15 matchup. No, 4-5 matchup. Denver, Seattle, again, and then you have KC and Arizona. So, again, you have Not to reiterate too much, but you have the Russell Wilson revenge game with Geno Smith prominently involved. And let's be honest, Mark, let's leave Greg out of this a second. That's a detriment to the game that Geno Smith's involved. So you got to factor that in. Meanwhile, you have Kyler Murray against Patrick Mahomes, two highlight reel quarterbacks. That's my pick. I think KC Arizona in a slight upset moves
it's,
on.
It's mine too because I I want to see what
Greg is shut out.
I want to see what the Chiefs offense
You can speak
looks
on
like.
It though, Greg.
Maybe. I feel like we've touched on Geno Smith like 48 episodes in a row. But let's see what the Chiefs look like. And also, again, I'm just going to say what I said before about Kyler Murray. It's like I can't wait to see what happens to the Cardinals.
This is the –
This is not
talking
stupid.
About conspiracy. This is the anti-Geno cabal. Give me a break.
Cabal.
They had – I don't know. Remember if it was a WNBA game or a soccer game, but they had some – I think it was Sue Bird's last game in Seattle, a tribute video of Seattle greats all saying, thank you, Sue Bird, what a legend. Your last home game in Seattle. Everyone's watching it. On comes Russell Wilson to say congratulations to Sue Bird. You know what happens? A stadium full of boos for Russell Wilson in Seattle for a tribute for Sue Bird. It's going to be nasty there.
Classy.
I mean, Russell Wilson going to Seattle and possibly there. You people say revenge game. This is a legit revenge game. Him and Pete Carroll ultimately didn't like each other, and they had were going to have a divorce. And I can just see this game being, I don't care what you think about Geno Smith. Maybe it's not going to be stylistically beautiful. It's going to be close in the fourth quarter. That's what Pete Carroll, Seahawks
Gross.
Do. And to me, there's just going to be a lot at stake. I was going to take this to the end, to the championship. This was my number one pick.
So
it was going to be the game that like it survived a tight first round game, and then it goes all the way to the title.
And
yet, you guys
Greg,
robbed
you've been ousted.
You're out. Case closed. And by the way, Seattle Seahawks fans, come back to us. I'm just going to read some Seahawks quarterbacks before Russell Wilson was around. You remember Charlie Whitehurst, Seneca Wallace, Tavares Jackson, Rick Meyer, John Kitna, Matt Hasselbeck, Trent Dilfer.
I mean, Matt Hasselbeck did take him to a Super Bowl. Very well
Yeah,
loved
like
there.
One of
Ring
the
of
worst
honor.
Super Bowls.
Ring of Honor. I'm just saying. He's
a, well, a totally cooked Super Bowl.
They love Matt Hasselbeck.
Zorn.
Well, you're right back in that world, Seattle.
Old Warren Moon. Let me just say something here. If you really, you see Russell Wilson on the Jumbotron and you boo, and by the way, Russell Wilson is paying tribute to one of the great sports heroes of the city's recent history, shame on you. And may you be cursed with a million Geno Smiths from here on forward.
But doesn't it?
And I'm not looking to pick a fight with Seattle fans, but you got to understand, like, I would love to have Russell Wilson. You know how many teams would die to have 10 years of Russell Wilson? And you boo him because he couldn't get away. He couldn't get along with the coach anymore, who, by the way, might be losing his fastball, throwing 86 miles per hour at this point. But management sided with the coach, throwing 86 with a flat slider.
Greg, why are you celebrating that?
I'm enjoying his Dan's mad dog like rant here. Really more friends.
That's a bad job by you, Seattle fans.
It was really more Francesa now that I think of it. But it did end off beautifully. I love that the NFL put this week one. At first, I was like, why? But now I like it because I think the emotions are as raw as they're going to be. And just get it. Do it first. This thing's beautiful. I think that's my number one pick.
And not to mention, if you're a Geno Smith fan, you know, you make sure you get to see him before he gets benched. So you get week one. There you go.
I was going to say there's no downside here, but of course there's downside. He could play terribly. But there is a glorious upside chance, which I'm hopeful for, which is that the Geno Smith Seahawks win this freaking game.
All right, well, guess what? They're out of this tournament. Let's move on to the final game to for our final four, the Cowboys and the Bucks, the number three seed against almost impossibly the San Francisco 49ers and Chicago Bears, the 11th seed. Make the case, boys.
I don't even know. I kind of want you guys to make the case to me. I'm right.
Well, you know
down.
My feelings. I try to vote out the Chicago Bears game
okay.
already.
All right. Mark, we can actually. There's no rules.
I'm actually
this.
With
we can
you.
Speak and hear. We can decide whether we want to, you know, join as a tandem and give this some spice. Get an 11 seed to the semis or not?
No, I'm going to go Dallas Tampa no. Bay.
Nice try, Greg.
I love you also.
All right.
Yeah, I mean,
I have no problem with that. I can't wait. The Bucks are one of those teams that are totally familiar. You know, I am. I'm kind of buying the Julio hype, by the way.
Well, that's your opinion.
I'm kind of buying him like beating Xavier Howard in the joint practice and being like he's the one healthy.
Dude, but you know his feet and his lower half has to go through. He's probably going to be on the I don't practice during the season plan, but he's still going to make it through games.
This is going to be a great game. The other one,
stay healthy.
The other
that's
one has too much blowout potential. And don't forget, this was a fantastic week one opener last year at Wesleyan Manor. We'll miss going to Wesleyan Manor. We watched that game with Lakeisha last year to start the season.
Mm-hmm. And Lakeisha's doing great in St. Louis. Let's now move to the Final Four. Rams, Buffalo Bills, the 1 seed against Chiefs, Cardinals, the 5 seed. I gotta go chalk. Gotta do it. And I know I don't want this to end in a deflating manner, the segment, but again, I don't want to overthink this. I think the Chiefs Cardinals game is fun and potentially a shootout. But also DeAndre Hopkins isn't there. That kind of deflates the Cardinals balloon a little bit for me. So I will go with the 1 seed making it to the finals.
I didn't approach this exercise with like multiple crusades that must occur. I mean, I think the Chiefs and Cardinals got to where they deserve to go. And the best game of the week is Rams Bills.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's a strange exercise because ultimately when I look at these games, I have more affection for some of the role players out there rather than the superstars. Like the superstar in this case is Rams-Bills. And yet Jags-Commanders, I think they're coming off the bench and hitting like 3 threes in 4 minutes. And you're like, ooh, Jags-Commanders, how about that? But they're not going to win the game for you. You need your superstars.
I like that. That was a good take. And moving to the other bracket, Chargers, Raiders, all the way to the finals. Proud of you, game. Against Cowboys, Bucks. So the NFC East champion against the NFC South champion, but that was last year. Who do you have in this one, Greg?
Now, do announcers play a role
yes,
here?
Yes, it's the experience of watching the game, for sure.
Okay.
That's why I'm not factoring in that we're going to be at Rams-Buffalo. In fact, I could ding it for that because I kind of like sitting and watching it with the announcing team there. Who's calling that Thursday night opener?
It's going to be
Al Michaels and
it's going to be
Sunday night crew.
It's going to be the Sunday night crew. It's going to be Tirico and Collinsworth. But the great thing about week one is you get them twice. You get them on Bucks Cowboys Sunday night too. They're doing their own doubleheader.
And don't tell Collinsworth. He doesn't know yet.
That's one reason. Hey, man, that guy loves ball. He'll do it every day of the week. That's one reason I'm going to go with them. It's also another reason I should have convinced you guys into the Geno Bowl because that's going to be ESPN's Buck and Aikman debut.
The fact that you call it the Geno Bowl
is insane.
But it's going to be
Russell Wilson against the Seahawks.
Buck and Aikman on Monday Night Football's debut, and you gave it.
That's great.
And you just gave Chiefs. But
it doesn't mean I won't watch it.
I'm going Cowboys.
I'm literally contractually obligated to watch the game. I'll be watching it, and I'll be enjoying it. But it ain't the Geno Bowl.
Bucks, Cowboys. What a way to cap that first Sunday. Your vote doesn't matter, Mark.
No, it doesn't. I mean, I actually would have gone the other way, but that, you know.
All right, which takes us to the finals. How about a little drum roll here? Rams-Bills against Cowboys-Bucks. One versus three.
Can I just point one thing out if you're watching this on YouTube? This looks insane.
I think Chavez Ravine did a really nice job with the bracket.
Visually here, it looks great, but it just on that screen there, it's
yeah, it looks like madness.
Right? It does. Like Oswald, maybe he didn't act alone. It was Chavez.
Oh, we've come around.
He's
doing great.
It.
All right, here we go. It's time.
Where are you going? This stuff. I know you don't want the 1 seed to make it.
I don't want the 1 seed to win, but I also understand that it is the best matchup in week one. And it's a shout out to the schedule makers who are smart enough to give us a banger in week one. I don't like when you have a huge division game on the Thursday night opener.
I'm with you.
Because you need those games to marinate a little bit. But give me one of these, an intra-conference AFC favorite versus NFC favorite. See where they're at. See it, you know, really get the season off to a good start. It's the best game. It's my pick. What about you guys?
Well, so here's the thing. Dallas-Tampa Bay, you mentioned it. We all got together and watched it a year ago in week one.
It's amazing.
We're not going to double down with the same matchup 2 years in a row when I already am not that intrigued by the Cowboys. I pulled for that this matchup over and over because of Tampa Bay. But Rams, Bills, I guess the exercise, I wouldn't call it, you know, mute. It's like it is. We did what we did, but it is the best game, and I think it had a tough journey to get here, but not really. It's just simply the best contest. It's my pick.
It's one of those things. It's not about the destination. It's the journey.
The journey was enjoyable.
It's the journey. Well, the Rams, you know, they're always complaining they don't get enough pop from your power rankings. Like, you actually weirdly ranked them, you know, number four or something after they won the Super Bowl. You just like, I'm just joking there. But at some, you know, you kept.
I got some members of the Rams
you kept burying
front
them.
Office unhappy about a divisional round power ranking.
Right. So here, we're giving them their shine. And I do think the Bills' weird training camp where I don't think Tre'Davious White's playing in this game. We'll have plenty of time to talk about this game, but I don't think he's playing in it. And their cornerbacks look a little shaky. And, you know, the Rams, as much as you tried to campaign against them, Mark, you know what they did last year in all four games? They delivered entertainment. All four of those playoff games.
Well, here's the thing. I just voted for them every time in a row.
That's fair.
Well, it shows what a pro you are.
But I'm not the anti thing was probably closer to like the Jeff Fisher era of this whole business,
right? And the thing
just
about
endured on
now
as
he's
a bit.
Now he's really
yeah,
but
that
no,
but even last
either,
year I was about, telling you in the playoff, you know, part of all this
it was about the stadium and that we were gonna be next to them, and you had this image that like every day when we showed up to work, Stan Kroenke is punching our time card.
Yeah, but you know what changed? Matthew Stafford changed the feel of that team for me. It really did, and the way that they went and got him, and that was a. That was a different moment. So it's like I'd like to take
this
that narrative and throw it out the window.
This is not Rams House. This is a podcast that covers the teams that are the most interesting. It just so happens that the two teams that play across the street are very interesting teams right now. When they suck, oh, you'll see. They won't be talked about nearly as much. The only team, yeah, there are a few
we
teams.
We will see.
Yeah, we'll see. But I feel confident that the Rams and Chargers get talked about.
That'll be when the Chargers or the Rams have Geno Smith at age 42 as their quarterback, and they'll be talked about as much.
I mean, the Chargers were not talked about that much relatively on this podcast a couple of years ago. The crazy thing is it's hard to imagine these teams really struggling just because it hasn't happened under Sean McVay, and the other one is Justin Herbert.
All right. A lot of pop, by the way, Mark. People are like, you know, Justin Herbert, Michael Jordan. Who is
he? I'm fine with that.
Who is he? Who is Justin Herbert? Who is the NBA comp for where Justin Herbert is right now? I saw somewhere, I believe on the subreddit, someone said Luka Doncic. Which
yeah,
is,
I that's thought, pretty good.
That's a good one.
That fits.
That sounds about right.
You got to win.
We also, I think we've compared maybe 9 NFL players to Michael Jordan on this podcast over the years.
Right, but so you're expecting him to be an all-time great.
I do.
No, I know. Yeah. But you still have to do it.
He's got to go through
playoffs.
A couple wars. We got to see what he
That's
looks
why
like
Doncic,
in January.
What is happening
if he becomes that and then I tell you he's that? What are we doing there?
Oh,
he
you're
becomes
saying,
Michael Jordan, then I tell you he's
so
like
you
Michael
believe
Jordan.
He will be Michael
yes.
Jordan.
What's the point of me telling you that 5 years from now?
We'll win 6 Super Bowl championships. And be seen as the greatest player that's ever lived.
The NFL is a little bit different than the NBA, and especially
Michael Jordan.
If
you say Michael Jordan, it means best player to ever play the sport and 6 for 6, never lost a championship. That's what Michael Jordan. Some people are a little fast and loose.
Tom Brady would be much closer to that then.
Like some people, you mean Mark.
Wes hated when people compared LeBron to MJ. And although I was a bigger fan of LeBron than Wes, I understood what he meant because people almost forget, and I'm glad that documentary came out last year, like what Jordan was, which was one of one, never will be another guy like that.
Well, I would never – I'm with Wes on the LeBron versus Jordan argument is absurd to me. And I don't know why we always need to make other NBA players Michael Jordan, whether it was Kobe or anyone else. I mean, I watched, and I'm sure you did too.
Measure him up to the best.
You just made Justin Herbert Michael Jordan.
But I'm saying in the same sport. Like, there is only one Michael Jordan. But a lot of people who are comparing player X to Michael Jordan in the NBA right now did not watch Michael Jordan.
Even Brady, though. Tom Brady has lost more Super Bowls than any quarterback ever.
Yeah, but I mean, like, football is completely different than basketball. I mean, you don't – it's like I –
That's –
Tom Brady has.
I mean, that because he made more championships. He didn't, you know, lose as many in the conference.
No one will ever do what Tom Brady did.
That is why people sometimes push back because
you're going just for title count, and I hear what you're saying.
But at this greatest point, perfect championship record in the equivalent of the NBA Finals.
I think here's the thing: if Justin Herbert has the kind of body, with sports science in 2022 that would allow him to play until he's 40 something, I think we're going to be in that world. I do.
I don't think there's been a bigger, I couldn't be a bigger Justin Herbert fan and believer, and that's for the whole last 2 years. So I'm with you. But to be Michael Jordan, he would have to stand apart not only from, he'd have to be considerably better than Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, and then he'd have to be considerably better than Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre.
I threw it out there. All right. It wasn't like we were, down at Cook's Tavern talking about it, and then it gets lost in the wash. It gets commented on. It's like I just said it. I do think he will be one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time.
Let's throw out Jordan. You're talking about his build and sports science. You're talking Tom Brady because Jordan wasn't known for his incredible longevity. Brady, of course, the stats, the Super Bowls.
Randy just checked
the longevity.
His watch again. This time it made sense.
You're saying he's the next Tom Brady. When you say Justin Herbert is the next insert superstar all time,
he'd be the person I would pick. Okay. But a lot of that, because it's not the NBA where you just get two or three of your friends and you win three titles. It's like you have to be in the right environment on the right team, and that's not entirely friends. Justin Herbert's control.
All right.
That is how it works.
Great little capper there. Thank you to everybody for listening. We'll be back on Thursday with another episode of Around the NFL. We appreciate your support. Until then, heed the call.
This is the first time I've gotten excited about football since probably last December.
Really? What about the Patriots-Chiefs
maybe January.
AFC championship game? That was a great game.
He's keeping it real.
No,
checked out at some point.
How about Super Bowl didn't really excite me, but some of the playoff games.
How about every game the Saints played? Basically, Saints Steelers.
No, not the last.
Was
half of the
one season. Of the best. Was maybe the best game of the year. The Saints Eagles was a terrific game, and
Saints,
then the
Rams.
NFC Championship game was not the best game, but it was exciting.
Both Saints Rams games were good.
Yeah, come on.
Good stuff.
So
football.
Wes is
we
excited
like
again. I guess let's start with Wes then. He has a week one game. What's getting you started?
Well, so many different ways I could go, but let me start with Rams at Panthers. I like these matchups that kind of make a statement at the beginning of the year. How good is this team? And I think the Panthers, I'm looking at them to be the Panthers that they were in the first half of last season when they looked like a legitimate playoff contender, and their defensive line is better now. Some of their skill position players are better. So can a guy like Curtis Samuel can he make a kind of leap like Christian McCaffrey did last year? So to me, that's a good litmus test going against the NFC representative from the Super Bowl, the Rams. I would not consider the Rams a heavy favorite in that game.
I think it's a statement game.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.